House by Christopher Lee, starring Julian Glover as Charles Bannister and Peter Kelly as Dougal Baxter.
Weekends like this are brilliant. Fresh air and Mummy's cooking. You know, she's much better as it's down here than in London.
When I first knew your mother, she was convinced that only farmers lived in the country during the week.
I thought Granny was very country life.
Oh, they never read beyond the engagement photograph.
Worcester! Worcester, come on! Come on! Look at him, he's loving it. It's okay for a couple of days, but I couldn't handle it all the time.
That's what she used to say. But now she's more at home down here than in Marsham Street.
At least there's space. The flat's like a glass box. When I need the loo, everyone knows. Good boy. I want my own place. Don't we, Worcester?
Really?
That's all they say. They're really mean.
Well, you're not getting me involved.
I'm not trying to. I just want to be on my own. And I don't want to get like her. A weekend here is a big deal.
Your mother gets on with the locals. She has the right temperament.
It's pathetic. She's learned all their names and what's wrong with them. There's all the yes, vicar, and how's your back? She loves it. They make me puke, the lot of them.
There are certain obligations.
Well, you don't like all that stuff, do you?
Oh, certainly not. I spend as little time in the constituency as possible. I agree with you. Just because I'm their MP doesn't mean that I have to eat their dreadful sponge cakes.
Does Ros like it?
When we first married, no. But she started to.
Indoctrination?
We both felt happier on sporting estates than housing estates. Ros has done well. I'm told she's a good barrister. Naturally, she had to recognise that mine was the more significant career.
Which is why you didn't have children.
Which was why a lot of things, young lady.
Mummy's lovely. Down here, she really likes all the cooking and jam making. And she's really quite good at it. It's really amazing.
Of course. Women are immensely suited to big kitchens and sensible shoes. It's a natural environment for them.
Oh, no. Worst kill.
Yeah.
You really are a worm, aren't you? Do you remember the last time we walked across here?
Christmas morning, and you deliberately left the gate open because it would annoy your father.
And you did exactly the same then, tried to wind me up. You're really prattish.
A prat and a worm.
Well, for someone who doesn't think much of women, but manages to have a wife and a mistress, that's about right.
Is that so?
I'm not knocking it. You can handle it, then that's your lookout.
Well, what is it that I'm supposed to handle, as you call it?
Well, all this thing about Kay Bennett and giving her a job.
Oh, you know Miss Bennett, do you?
Of course I don't. But she was the one you poked up to see on Christmas Day, wasn't she?
Was she?
Oh, never mind, forget it. Nothing to do with me.
That had been my impression. However, you seem remarkably informed. I hadn't imagined that your father discussed private arrangements.
Daddy! Oh, joking. Pass the butter and no is about all I get out of him.
Just as well. So, who told you about Miss Bennett?
Henry Portsherry, will you? Simsbridge.
How antipodean we've become. Ah, in decanters in the sitting room, but in the kitchen, rigidly to attention alongside bottles of gold-topped cholesterol.
It's the decent stuff. Keep Cyprus in the decanter for the constituency.
Crystal for the party workers, how clever.
Most of them wouldn't know the difference if they were served distilled bass dropping. Anyway, it's free, what do they care?
Refreshingly cynical, dear sister. I don't know why, but I imagined you rather liked them.
No way.
Here we are. Good health.
Thanks. Cheers. If people want to vote for Charles, jolly good, let them. Most of the party faithful are just hangers on.
But without the workers, there would be no hive. My goodness, have I been so naive for so long?
No. No, you're right. It's me, not them. I suppose I resent doing something because I have to. I'm hardly the ideal MP's wife.
Or you are.
That makes it worse. Hi.
What's worse? Oh, I see. At it already, are we?
Nothing, darling. Yours is on the dresser. Sit down. That knee of yours isn't going to get any better than you jumping around.
Great. But they're just coming. Oh, that's better. Dougal's having a word with his minder. And I suspect Polly's trying to get his telephone number.
I'd have thought she's had enough of Call Me Gerald and her.
Am I missing something exciting? It's Mary's name for Gerald Mossman, Dougal's PPS. She thinks he's a creep.
An understatement.
And Polly's?
They're friends. I wish they weren't.
Yes, well.
Hi. Good walk, you two.
Darling, where's lunch?
Yes, thank you, Mummy. It was A, jolly nice, or B, quite dreadful. Delete whichever does not apply, and thank you very much for asking.
Sorry.
That's better. Very pleasant, thank you. Well, not something I normally do before.
So you're starving too? Half an hour. It's pig. The beef looked awful, and I really can't be bothered with Yorkshire pudding. Is that all right?
Remind me not to hire you as my head of character assessment team.
Worms don't have them anyway.
Ooh.
You two normally talk in code, but I was telling Dougley how much you loved them all here.
Oh, they give me the creeps, especially that lot last night.
Well, they were rather jolly at dinner.
Obsequiously so.
Who's this?
Here you are. Don't spill it. The Pratts from the constituency. They wouldn't go home.
Thank you. No worms, only Pratts. Honours list. Next week's final recommendations. In a not very subtle way, they're reminding me how to spell their names. You have the same thing, don't you?
Of course. But then I'm as subtle as they are. I make it clear I want to know what they're doing for me before I do for them.
That's disgusting.
Certainly. But it saves a lot of misunderstanding.
Cynicism is rarely far beneath the medal tray. Was that not the reason why everyone's father knew Lloyd George?
They know it's cut and dried. So why all the heavy hinting last night?
Oh, it's important to them. They know it's the treasurer's turn for a CBE.
Then he'll get it.
Absolutely. Then the year after next, there'll be something for the chairman.
Bubonic plague would be quite appropriate.
It's the only recognition they get, so why not?
It's corrupt. If they really believe in the party, they shouldn't want paying off with cheap gin and enamel brooches.
It probably costs us all a bomb just to make them feel happy.
Actually, it costs nothing at all. We make a profit.
Hmm. Are not medals like lunches?
No such thing as a free one. Yes, of course. But I was talking in purely financial terms. Take your constituency treasurer and his grubby little CBE. How much is it? £200? £220?
Multiply that by goodness knows how many, twice a year, and it soon comes to thousands.
But think the whole process through, Charles. Your treasurer gets his letter. Immediately he's expected to give a couple of big parties and probably a formal dinner somewhere.
The last one gave four. Go on.
Married?
Mm-hmm. Two daughters.
Even better. Then comes the palace. That'll mean three new frocks. Mm. Then if he hasn't got it, morning suit hire. A hotel in town for him, his wife and two daughters for the night before the palace. That's a minimum of 130 each.
Then there's shopping for the women because he's in a good mood, and more than likely dinner for at least the four of them and close relatives at somewhere smart in London.
Right.
My godfather James. Dinner alone will set him back at the very least £60 a head.
A CBE for the standard social climbing county party treasurer will cost him a minimum of £2,000.
So how do you make money out of it?
We collect 17.5% VAT. It's easy.
You're across here early, Charlie.
Oh, hello, Mervyn.
Got some business then, or nothing to do?
Good weekend.
Oh, usual grind. Surgery on Saturday morning. Bloody council by-election speeches in the afternoon. Constituency supper, then chin-wagging all Sunday. Glad to get back, I was.
Remind me not to ask in future. Have we, got any problems?
We haven't, Charlie, but I couldn't speak for your people, could I then? Seem to remember you normally hide yourself over at number 12 till after lunch. Got the elbow then, have we?
I sometimes wish that were true, Murfin. There are moments when I long for a snooze on the back bench.
Oh, don't worry. From what the polls tell us, it's coming your way. Yeah, but you're right. It's not the best job in the house. Never has been.
If the vote goes the right way, then everyone expected it to. If it doesn't, they still expected it.
This is true, Charlie. We shoot ourselves in the foot. Cabinets shoot us in the back. old story, boy. Makes me weep to hear you tell it.
Save your tears, you old rascal. I'll survive, and we'll go the full term. Be a struggle, but we will.
No, you won't. But keep telling them, Charlie. That's your job, isn't it? Talking of jobs, I hear the Home Secretary's got himself a new talent.
Gerald Mossman? A couple of weeks ago, Murfin, you're behind the news, slipping.
I was thinking about the floozy. K-something, isn't it?
Were you indeed?
Indeed I was. Giving a one, is he, Charlie?
I beg your pardon.
Mossman, got a bit of a reputation in that quarter, so I hear. Just wondered.
Murfin, you should know that there are times when I find your Celtic folksiness a little trying.
Oh, don't take offence. None was intended. Just odd that Mossman gets a job with Baxter. Next thing, she's got her pretty knees under the desk. Just odd, that's all.
Fine. If I hear any more... Yes. It'll keep until I see the PM.
Shan't be a moment.
What? Prayers tomorrow morning. Bye.
Hell's teeth give me strength, Dougal. Mm-hmm. How is it that every member has a special reason, a totally exceptional case, for putting up a friend, an acquaintance, business associate, departmental servant, almost anyone you can name for the honours list? Sorry. Sit down. How are you?
Fine. Your knee?
See, the stick's gone.
More trouble than it was worth. Kept tripping over it, of course. Well, something in particular?
Well, no, not really. Just dropped by to say thanks for yesterday. I've written to Mary, of course.
There was no need.
No, but there you are.
Dougal, you're sure there wasn't something on your mind?
I'm certain.
Good.
By the way, Charles, I...
Mm-hmm?
I've been making a few inquiries, unofficially, of course.
About what?
Well, actually, I've been wondering who we might be thinking of giving knighthoods to this time.
We?
It's not uncommon for one or two of our more senior backbencher colleagues to be recognised.
May I ask what sort of inquiries you've made? I'd have thought it rather indiscreet of you.
Of course. I was hoping to be, as you put it, discreet.
Indiscretion has never inhibited your parliamentary ambitions, Dougal.
You disappoint me, Charles. I have good reason for asking.
I'm certain your disappointment will be short-lived. Hmm? Then in no time at all, you can get back to practicing your own peculiar brand of intrigue.
My brand? Now you flatter me. You know as well as I do, nothing in this place is straightforward.
And if I may say so, your choice of PPS is testament to that.
Well, let me tell you, since Gerald joined my office, I've had a better feel for what people are thinking. Just as you used to. He talks to people. And he doesn't keep it to himself. I know what's going on.
He's far too pushy, I'm told. Is that to your advantage?
He's forceful, yes. I'll grant you that. But he keeps his ear to the ground, which is what a good PPS is supposed to do. And he's not frightened of ideas.
Like Miss Bennett?
Oh, purely fortuitous. If the Prime Minister happens to pick an advisor who happens to be a good friend of someone I know, then, well, I'd be a fool not to take advantage of it. You'd have done the same thing. Don't moralise me, Charles. Not on this of all offices.
Well, well, the return of Miss Bennett. And already hard at work in the committee rooms, I see.
You have a habit of haunting this part of the palace, Mr. Bannister. I seem to remember it was exactly here we last met.
The committee corridor is one of my battlements. After all, I do have a legitimate interest in its workings.
Meaning I don't?
No, meaning I do. Look, I must say I was rather surprised when Dougal told me you were joining his office. Truthfully, I can't pretend that I approved, but then it's...
None of your business? Is that what you were about to say?
Not at all. It is very much my business. I was about to say that it's now fait accompli and that I wish you well.
And you were loitering just to tell me that.
You flatter yourself, Kay. I have other things to do. In fact, I didn't even know you were in the house and cared even less. Actually, I was looking at this old portrait of Beatty. He always wore his cap at an angle. Admirals are allowed to do that.
How fascinating.
When you're in a senior position, you can get away with quite a lot that you can't when you're younger.
Are you trying to tell me something? Or does the government chief whip really have nothing better to do?
When BT was only a captain, he appointed a very clever and very junior officer as an ADC.
Oh, my God.
The appointment went to the ADC's head, and he upset the chief of staff's office. The chief of staff had the young man sacked.
It was his privilege, I suppose?
BT didn't lift a finger to protect him. He was very ambitious.
Oh, is this the store of a queue? I wouldn't have thought the Home Affairs Committee was that interesting, eh?
No one's queuing. In fact, the Chief Whip was giving a matinee performance.
We've just had an hour of that. Weston's giving evidence to the Home Affairs Committee in there. By God, he's sharp.
And the committee isn't.
You're so right. Mind you, Juliet Cameron knows her stuff. She was really giving him a hard time.
I see.
I think she knows him as well.
As well as what?
As well as giving him a hard time. What else did you think?
Keep tabs on the old opposition, eh? Got a bit of competition there, sweetie. But mind you, with your looks, no contest, or so I'd have thought.
That's something you do often. I must say, there's little evidence.
Oh, very touchy. Don't know what to make of her. Mind you. Well, never mind, as they say.
Perhaps we should not. Tell me, Gerald, I hear you're interested in knighthoods.
Not personally, but early for that. Seriously, though, yes, I am. Naturally, I wouldn't expect any of the inside info. Not unless you thought it worth your while.
I take it there's an exceptional reason for your treading the grounds of confidentiality.
Right. Between you and I, it's a bit of a scheme I came up with, and the Home Secretary rather cared for, eh? Unofficially, of course.
I see. Oh, of course.
Idea's pretty simple. Find out who's about to get a you-can-call-me-sir letter, then drop a mega hint that you, rather Dougal, was the one who put his name forward. The guy then owes you a favour, or thinks he does.
Does he now?
Knighthoods only go to senior backbenchers, ergo or whatever, so you're buying some pretty high-powered support, eh?
And Dougal approved this idea?
Absolutely. Fact is, it's so simple, I really don't understand why no one's come up with it before, eh?
Don't you? That would explain a considerable number of things.
Well, where is he now? Someone must know.
According to Hawkins, he's due back at 9:30, but he doesn't know where he's gone.
What exactly did that Cameron woman say?
She didn't exactly say anything, but the message was loud and clear, eh? Apparently, there's quite a few of them who want to get back to the old system.
I don't know. That little baggage is too clever by half. You're sure about this?
I don't know her brilliantly, but I think she, well, gets on with me. Bit of the old charm works wonders, eh? I reckon we're getting a signal.
But why now?
A lot of them well browned off ever since the old days. Handing out a few MBEs is an easy way of paying off debts. Nothing else to offer them, have they? Especially in opposition. Mm. Are you receiving me?
There's a private dinner party at his flat. He'll be back later.
You're sure?
His messenger told me he knows everything.
Hawkins, he told me he didn't know where he was.
He would. Why didn't you simply telephone him? It's not a big deal, surely.
Well, that would instill a sense of urgency into the matter, which is better avoided. If their lot's interested in getting back into the honours game, there are some advantages in being the messenger of these tidings.
Then call him.
You'll soon learn, sweetie. It's a matter of tactics, eh? If the Chief Whip already knows this, then he's not impressed. We look second rate.
Not all of us.
If he knows and is keeping it to himself, perhaps it's because he's negotiating. Then he won't thank us for letting the cat out of the bag, eh?
I thought we were all supposed to be on the same side. Or at least you were.
I think perhaps a casual suggestion later this evening that the time might be right to approach that little Welsh turd Edwards.
If he's done so, we're up with the game. If he hasn't, we're ahead. Got it, sweetie?
I still don't see the point. And why Mervyn Edwards?
He's opposition chief whip. He can negotiate. If Gerald's right, they're either playing a game or they're about to dump another of their high and mighty principles. Whichever way, Charles ought to know.
And wouldn't it be a good idea for us to be the people to tell him?
What happens if you're wrong and she's setting you up?
I think I've got the measure of her. She's got those sort of eyes. In fact, if you'll excuse me, I think I'll give her a bit of the old chat. See if she knows any more. Eh? See ya.
Oh, he is remarkable. I shall hit him. I really will.
No, you won't. Come here. Tell me, you think that Cameron slut is being clever, do you?
Dougal, please. Now listen, will you? Think about it. It is possible. This tartan drawers is not completely stupid. And if he tries that sweetie business with her, well, it's just the sort of thing she might set him up for.
Possibly. Let me see. Perhaps Gerald ought to be the one to mention it to Charles.
You could explain it with a little more subtlety, surely.
Of course. But if she's setting him up, why should I be the one to upset the Chief Whip? What do you think?
I think Mr. Bannister was right. You'd have made a good admiral.
I'm minded of the rather confident young pilot officer during the war who corrected the monarch as he was getting his gong.
Henry, more pudding.
Mummy,
I've heard it. What about you, Charles?
No, thanks, darling. Go on, old man. Don't take any notice.
Yeah. The King was congratulating him on bringing down a Messerschmitt, was about to pin on the DFC, when Flying Officer Kite pipes up...
Is that really his name?
Oh, the young. When Flying Officer Kite pipes up, "Actually, Your Majesty, I killed two jolly old Messerschmitts, not one, as it happens." Silence. The King looks hard at him and says,
"Well, as it happens, you're only getting one jolly old medal."
You got one, didn't you? What did the Queen say?
Oh, truly, my dear, I'm not sure. The hand is taken, and when she has spoken, there is the most imperceptible regal pressure, not a squeeze nor a gentle push.
Not at all.
And one finds oneself outside clutching one's gaudy bauble and being stared at through the railings by Japanese and the middle class.
I think it sounds fun. Can we go when you get something, Daddy?
That's hardly likely.
Oh, why not? They gave one to that man with the wet lips and watery eyes who used to come here. You know, the one who knew all about royal pictures.
Yes, well.
And we took it away from him as well.
Anyway, I would have thought your generation was against medals and honours.
Oh, they're nice. Especially the ribbons. Some of them are really pretty.
You make them sound like bits of dreadful jewellery.
How uncharacteristically shrewd of you, Charles. That's exactly what they are.
All part of the fun, dear boy. Mere baubles. Something to cherish but not take too seriously. Rather like one's MCC tie.
This is all too cynical for me. A few moments ago, you were all agreeing with me that Dougal was exploiting the system and that he was wrong.
We didn't.
Of course you did.
Of course we didn't.
We agreed that he was exploiting the system, but that's because he's Dougal, and Dougal exploits every system. It's the same with the mysterious Miss Bennet. He's exploiting her, but he certainly doesn't think it's wrong.
Well, she can handle it. If she can't, that's her problem.
My goodness. Isn't there honour among feminists?
Polly's right.
I don't believe
it. No, you are. From what I hear, Kay Bennett can look after herself. She now has Dougal where she wants him.
But what about the ambitious Mr. Mossman? Is that not his role?
Oh, absolutely. Gerald Mossman may be Dougal's idea of a good PPS, but Dougal's his ticket to the ministerial enclosure. If he wants to stay in that race, he won't tolerate Kay Bennett getting in the way.
Oh, why should she? She's nothing to do with
Call me Gerald.
Mummy, I wish you wouldn't.
We are sensitive, aren't we?
I don't talk about your friends like that.
I hardly think it's appropriate.
Well, hardly think it's appropriate? What sort of ministerial answer is that? You're going on about honour and decency. Well, it's okay if it's your honour and decency, right?
I don't quite see what this has to do with Gerald Mossman.
He's my friend. You don't like that for some reason? Okay, fine. But I really get poked off when she tries all that clever stuff about call me Gerald. He's just nice. But going by your friends, you wouldn't know about that.
Very few of my friends give my daughter lunch and dinner and goodness knows what else, and then as soon as her back's turned, chat me up as if I were the next available in line.
Oh, don't kid yourself. Not at your age.
Oh.
Oh. Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear.
Oh, dear, as much as you wish, Henry, but this is the other Polly. Your niece has become one of life's tantrums and door slammers.
She tells me she's looking for a flat.
More accurately, she's looking for us to finance one.
If I have much more of this, I'll be very tempted to do so. And the further away, the better.
You see, Charlie, there are some things we can discuss and some we can't. This we can't.
Informally?
No such thing, you see.
Personally?
What's the difference, then?
Well, speaking personally, I happen to be in favour of the honour system.
But you people invented it, Charlie. Christians and Christmas, nearly the same thing.
I wouldn't put the British honours system on nearly such a grand pedestal. But be fair, Murphin, you went along with it until the 60s.
A quarter of a century ago, that. Things are different, or haven't you caught on?
In heraldic and chivalrous terms, a quarter of a century is nothing. And I seem to remember that not everyone said no at the time.
Mostly those who were about to get something in the tins, eh? A nice little billy-doo from the palace and a bit of something to wear at flashy dinners. Didn't like it when we put the lid on. Well, I can't say I blamed them.
So, and this is nothing more than a personal thought, I would be wrong if I thought your people might be thinking of coming in from the cold. You would you? You're not against honours.
Can be good for morale.
Very cheap.
Can be bad.
When some are not recognised.
And some are. OBE, yes. Other buggers' efforts.
And occasionally a knighthood for a worthy alderman. A generous thank you that money cannot buy.
Not always, Charlie.
Life peerages are not exactly taboo, are they?
You telling or you asking? Life peerages, well, that's tactical. Yes, tactical. Tell me, Charlie, what made you think we were going soft?
Oh, I wouldn't call it soft, simply tactical, as you said. I heard a rumour that you were perhaps rethinking policy.
No, rumour, was it?
And when did Charlie Bannister take notice of rumours? In the old days, you was the one who started rumours.
The rumour's wrong, is it?
Slipping, boy. That's what you are. Slipping.
I hardly think the lobby is the place to discuss this, Charles. Once again, your timing's all to blazes.
What I have to say won't take a moment. Your PPS put me in a very embarrassing situation. I was made to look foolish. I will not have it.
Of course.
He is your PPS. I expect you to keep him in check.
Of course.
He's been running around like some third-rate private detective. It must cease.
Running around is part of his or any other PPS's task. I seem to remember us both doing it.
You know what I mean, Dougal. It is not on. If I hadn't checked what he said, I could easily have been tempted to bring it up with the Prime Minister at this morning's press.
That would have been unwise, would it not? But you weren't and you didn't. I really don't see why you're still upset.
I'm upset because against my better judgment and because of our friendship, I allowed myself to listen to him in the first place.
If he'd been right, and we're not entirely sure he wasn't, if he'd been right, then you'd have been telling me what a splendid chap he was.
He wasn't. In future, he must behave as other PPSs.
Unfortunately, Charles, I knew nothing of this.
You didn't?
Of course not. I'd have hardly allowed him to come to you with such a doubtful yarn without making my own inquiries.
That makes it worse.
I'll speak to him. I trust you have already.
Certainly not. I have told you. In future, he keeps his distance. This has been made clear to him by one of the juniors.
You know, Charles, this isn't the normal way of doing things. We don't do things this way.
From now onwards, Dougal, we do. And another thing. If I hear that he's sniffing around the honours list, there'll be further trouble.
Oh, that's all settled.
I'm glad to hear it.
It was simple. I just congratulated the four most likely candidates, and one of them thanked me and said he thought it was supposed to be confidential.
My God, Father James.
But you only convinced him that I must have had a say in his.
And which blithering idiot was this?
So, there's more than one.
Come on, who was it?
Charles. It's privileged information. You must know that I couldn't possibly tell you.
In that episode of The House, you heard Julian Glover as Charles Bannister, Peter Kelly as Dougal Baxter, Isla Blair as Mary Bannister, Christopher Benjamin as Henry Colville, Jane Booker as Kay, David Neville as Gerald, Douglas Blackwell as Murfin, and Ruth Gemmell as Polly Bannister. The House was written by Christopher Lee and produced by Neil Cargill.